We're going to the ninth chapter tonight of the book of Acts. The ninth chapter of the book of Acts. I want to read this, just a little portion of it, pray, and then I'll give you the outline of the message that I preached this morning on how you, the distinguishing marks of a Bible believer. I give you two of them, and I got seven of them I was going to preach on, but I'll just give you that outline, and maybe we might preach on it one of these days, might not, but anyhow, I'll give you the outline, you can take it home with you. And or help you a little, you can study on it yourself. In the book of Acts, let's stand, please, in chapter 9. I've read this chapter lots of times, even preached out of it and hadn't been too far back, kind of recently. But I want to look at something. The Bible said in verse number 1, and Saul, of course, that's the name of Paul before he got saved. That's his lost name. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And we'll stop there. You can be seated. Let's pray. Dear Father, tonight, give us wisdom and understanding that we might comprehend the things of the Lord. I pray that your perfect will might be performed, or that you'll strengthen our hearts and encourage our soul and open our understanding to receive the things of the Lord tonight, is not only to hear it, but to receive it. Father, may we see the application and look at this scripture, and we'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, right quickly, I'll give you that outline, and then I'm going to come to chapter 9. These three places we're going to be dealing with tonight out of the book of Acts. It's all concerning the Apostle Paul, or Saul, in our case tonight. I said this morning, distinguishing marks of a Bible believer is, first of all, their food that they eat. Number two, their faith that they have. Number three is their friends that they fellowship with. You can't hobnob with a bunch of folks that don't love God.
That's right.
You can't let your friends influence you. I mean, they've got all kinds of ideas. Amen. I hear people come to church and they're having all kinds of ideas, you know. Well, one of them will tell you that the moon's made out of cheese or something. Amen. I don't care if they come to church that way, as long as they don't start serving cheese sandwiches and start making you try to eat it. Amen. Then I'll jump in on them. But the friends that you fellowship with. Number four, the fruits that you bear. I mean, corrupt trees produce corrupt fruit.
Right.
Amen. So the fruit that you bear, your fruit's got to be good. If you don't have good fruit, it's a good indication something's wrong with you spiritually. Amen. And that'll show up in your walk, your talk, and your attitude. Then number five, the favor that you seek. You'll always be seeking the favor of God. You won't want the favor of men. If you're trying to seek after the favor of men, something's wrong with your spiritual life. Number six, the fight that you're fighting. Somebody said, I ain't fighting nothing or nobody. You're not in the work of God either. You get involved and the devil slap you around.
Amen.
He'll knock you sideways every once in a while. And you have to fight that. It's a good fight. It's a great fight. Actually, it's a God-glorifying fight. So you need to do that. And then number seven, the fear that you display. Somebody said, we ain't supposed to have no fear. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You'll have a fear for the Lord. Number two, you'll have a fear for the Word of God. And you'll have a fear for disrespecting or disobeying the Word of God too. So that was the message. And that could have been two or three more sermons, I guess. Let's go to chapter 9 of the book of Acts. And as we look down through here, I want to point out something. There's three particular places we're going to be dealing with chapter 9. We're going to be dealing with chapter 22, and we're going to be dealing with chapter 26. These three places in the book of Acts, all three, record the conversion of the Apostle Paul, or Saul, at this particular time. And they all are different. It's kind of like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We only have one gospel. But how many times do you hear people say, the gospels say? There's not the one gospel. And that's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the Scriptures. But Matthew has an account of that same gospel, as well as Mark, and as well as Luke, and as well as John. If you just took one of them, it would be right. It would be okay. If you took the gospel record of Mark, it would be fine. If you took the gospel record of Luke, you wouldn't go wrong. And it certainly wouldn't be bad for you to take the gospel record of John. But when you put Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all together, you've got a well-rounded gospel that you can dot the I's and cross the T's on. And one of them will tell you something the other does not tell, but they will not contradict each other. And you learn more. These three references to the conversion of Paul or Saul do the very same thing. Some people said that there's some contradictions, but it's not. If there's any contradictions, it's between their ears and not the Word of God. So Paul is telling us, matter of fact, here's something that I was preaching on this. I'm using it in my studies on Timothy. And I looked at these things and I started off with it making a what I call a comparison. There's what we call the harmony of the Gospels. Now they call them Gospels, I just like to call them Gospel, but the harmony of the Gospel simply means this, that they'll tell you what, and I got a book on the harmony of the Gospels. And it records in one column what Matthew said in a particular place, and then Mark will give you his rendering of what he said in the next column, and Luke in another, and John in another, and if there's nothing there, there won't be anything, it'll be blank. And you can see what all three of them or all four of them are saying. And that you can do the same thing with this. We'll call this tonight the harmony of these three reports. I want us first of all to look at chapter 9. And it said, and Saul, we know who that is, yet breathing out threatenings. He was a religious man. And a religious man breathing out threatenings. You said that happens all the time. Amen. I didn't say he's a saved man in verse 1. I said he was a religious man. You'd expect anything out of religious men and women. Amen. They just put enough. I hear these commentators and these fellows that get on the radio. I listen to some of them sometimes driving down the road. And they got on, and some of them claim to be preachers and some of them claim to be Christians. And in one paragraph, they'll let out a bad word. Sometimes they go against the Scriptures. And then in another time, rather top-notch, you know. And I say that they're just religious people. Our country's filled with religious people. Verse 1, Paul, or Saul here, was a religious man. Now I've said this in a previous message or two that I preached here, that Saul actually thought he was doing God's will by taking the saints of God into prison and persecuting them. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I'm just giving you a little introduction before we get here. And we know that he didn't mean to harm or hurt nobody. He actually thought he was doing God's will. So when he went in verse number 2 to get letters, desiring letters, get into the synagogues and take men and women and put them in prison, bind them up and bring them to Jerusalem, he believed that he was doing God a favor. Would you back up, hold your place there, and back up with me to John chapter 16. The Gospel of John. And the Bible says this. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." Chapter 16, verse number 1. Jesus speaking to His disciples. Then He said, "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." That's where Paul was. Paul thought he was doing the perfect will of God. He knew how to dot the I's and cross the T's, and he brought the people back for persecution. And he believed that he was following God with all his heart. You could not have made him understand anything different than that. These that he were bringing in were enemies, he thought, to the gospel and to the work of God. Well, not the gospel, because he didn't know much about the gospel at that time. But he did know the law. He didn't know anything about the grace of God. He hadn't experienced it yet, but he's fixing to learn it. He's fixing to have a head-on collision with the Son of God. He's fixing to have a brand new change in his heart by the grace of God in this chapter. Now we go on down, and the Bible said in verse number 3, "And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven." That's as far as we read a while ago, and we're going to hold it back. He was on his way doing what he is doing for the glory, he thought, of God. And the Bible said, talking about this, as he journeyed, he's busy. As he's journeying, he's moving. He's not sitting still. He's not under oak tree. He's not sitting on the park bench somewhere. He's journeying. He's on his way to do what he thought was the will of God. The Bible said he came near Damascus. He didn't get there. God stopped him short. It's amazing how God knows when to stop us and where to stop us. Amen. You can go back in your life and think about when God saved you. Amen. That was your Damascus road. Now I want to remind you, we're going to look at this. There's some things that really happened. He said, and suddenly, the light didn't just appear, get brighter and brighter and brighter. It just said, there it is. You got it? Get the setting. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly, there shined round about him a light from heaven. Wasn't a flashlight. Didn't have energizers in it. Amen. It was light from where? Heaven. Now, you'd have to have been there to know you come from heaven. Let me ask you this. When you got saved, did you get a light from heaven? You said, not like Paul, no. Now, there's a reason for that, and I mentioned it a little bit the other day. Let's hold that for a minute. I want to look at that thought. And, it just said, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Now, I've got some things in the back of my mind, and I'm hoping I get back to them. I'm enjoying teaching this and preaching it because I learned this while we were sitting in the house hiding from COVID. One good thing it did. Look at Acts chapter 22. We go to Acts chapter 22. We're going to find now another place and another thing. And we're going to look at this. And we'll just start reading at verse 1 because I want us to get all that we can from this. I'm by no means going to get everything I want to preach on this. I'll get you to a stopping place and let you go home and do like you do on the rest of my sermons, try to find out and figure out what I was trying to say. The Bible said in verse 1, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you." Now, if you read before that, you're going to find out that this is Paul speaking, or Saul, at that particular time. Matter of fact, it's Paul speaking now. He's already saved. When this starts, he's saved. In chapter 9, he's not saved yet. But in chapter 22, he's saved. Verse 2 said, And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue, matter of fact, you go to verse 40, it said he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying. That's the last phrase of that last verse. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he got their attention. Because Saul, or Paul now, he's an unusual character. They got question marks running in their head concerning Paul. They don't know hardly how to take him. He's an unusual character. Verse number 3, he says, I am verily a man which am a Jew. He's identifying with them. Born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, which is one of the most, studied after professors, if you could call them that. He was taught by Gamaliel, one of the top-notch teachers of the day concerning the law, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God as ye all are this day. Paul is identifying himself. He said, I'm a Jew. That's what he's saying. I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Tarsus in the city of Cilicia, and I've been raised under the Word of God. In other words, I'm a smart man when it comes to the dotting of the I's and the crossing of the T's of the law. Now, Paul's not preaching that here anymore. He's preaching something different, because in chapter 9, he had a head-on collision with the grace of God. Now, I'm going into more detail about this, and I normally would, but I want you to get all this. In verse 4, it said, and I persecuted this way. What way? This way that I'm in now. I persecuted them. We've got a record of it, chapter 9. Now, remember, I want to get you to point to see this. This is Paul giving his testimony. That's the best thing you've got today to win the lost.
That's right.
It's your testimony. If you can say today that you know you've been changed by the grace of God, and that you were lost and undone, and now you're alive forevermore through the grace and blood of Christ, what better testimony than that can you have? And they can see you every day walking a straight and narrow path. They hear you speaking well and glorifying God. They can see you living correctly. Brother, what better testimony can a child of God have? And I persecuted this way unto the death. In other words, I was killing people. I was taking the lives of many women, binding and delivering in the prisons both men and women. As also the high priest doth bear me witness, all the estate of the elders, for whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. Now, basically, we're still hearing exactly what chapter 9 tells us, right? And he helped us a whole lot more other than he just confirming what he's already said or what's been said about it. Verse 6 said, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh, near, what chapter 9 says, unto Damascus, about what now? Noon. There's a reason why Paul put that noon in there. He didn't tell us that in chapter 9, did he? It said at noon. Now see, we're not going to get far because I'm going to get too bogged down on all this. But you need to see the Word of God. I love just studying the Word of God and seeing exactly what it says.
That's right.
Not what I think, but what it says. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon. Now he gives suddenly, which we found in chapter 9. there shone from heaven. Paul said a light come from heaven. Now we find he's saying it again here. And he said, what kind of light? Great light. And the reason I say it's a great light is because it was noon. Noon is the brightest time of the day. And this light was brighter than the sun. Because it was the S-O-N that was shining. He said, there shone from heaven a great light round about me. Now we're at the same point we were in chapter 9. But we've got a little bit more. Before we move to the third reference, I want to point out something. Back up to chapter 9, hold your place in chapter 22. When we go back to chapter 9, I want you to look at this. In chapter 9, Paul is not talking. This is a little thought I saw the other day when I was looking at this thing, and I thought, this ain't Paul's testimony. This is the testimony of the Holy Ghost to the writer of the book of Acts. And that writer is Luke. In verse number 9, he said, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, it ain't what Paul didn't say, and as I journeyed, somebody's recording this of him. Keep this in mind. It's important to notice these little things out of the Scriptures. I like to look at it, don't you? This is the writer. Luke is writing. He's telling this. Now Paul, he's telling his own version of it in chapter 22. Amen. And Luke is telling what the Holy Ghost told him to write. No doubt Luke wasn't there. But the Holy Ghost told him what to write. You see what I'm saying? And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He didn't say, and as I journeyed, a light shined around about me. It's being written of him. Now, chapter 22 is telling his own personal testimony. Now, let's go to chapter 26 and see if we can gather anything else. We know in chapter 9, a light shined from heaven. In chapter 22, about noon, a great light shined round about from heaven. So we've got more detail. When we get to chapter 26, I want to read, and I'm going to take my time to do this. Actually, I could skip a few verses, but we might miss something. And I know where I'm going with this, and I don't intend to start with verses 1. But I want you to get the setting. If you don't get the setting, we can get in trouble. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. In other words, Paul, you speak up. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. And I like this. Paul said, I think myself happy. I've had to do that a time or two. There have been a few times I wasn't too happy, but I said, I think myself happy. Sometimes I think I feel bad. And I have to thank myself feeling good.
Amen.
Did you know how you think about yourself can change a lot of things?
Right.
And sometimes we have to think ourselves happy.
Amen.
Amen. And it's hard to do. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. I've heard everything Paul saying, but I want to tell you the truth. I want to tell you what's really happened. Especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech or beg you, beseech thee to hear me patiently. Amen. I believe sometimes we get in too big a hurry. And sometimes we need to read the Word of God, every time, patiently. Then Paul said, my manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation in Jerusalem, know all the Jews. People know about me. They know that. Which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most strictest sect of our religion, I lived the Pharisee. We done found out in chapter 22 he was a Jew. We find out in other places he's a Hebrew of the Hebrews. But now Paul's saying, I was a Pharisee. Now that got Agrippa's attention because Agrippa knew what a Pharisee was. A Pharisee was part of the religious sect, as he's talked about here, and they lived specific and very carefully, and they lived to the strict of the law. And then he said, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived the Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. Verse 7, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. And that's why he's in jail. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Because he thought he's doing God a favor by doing so. Verse 10 said, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. Now look at his testimony. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. This is right in line of what the other two references are. And then when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. He's saying that he's giving us some thought here that he's a little stronger than you'd think in chapter 22. And I punished them all in every synagogue. Can you see? He went to the church house where they were and punished them. Pretty bad, isn't it? Boy, we wouldn't like that today. We wouldn't think he is a very good feller, would we? And compel them to blaspheme. In other words, I made them deny the Lord Jesus, or tried to. And being exceeding mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. I've done all sort of things to them. Now, Paul's not bragging here. Because in 1 Timothy, he said he was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor. And he was injurious or injurious to people. But he said, but I obtained mercy. God saved me. Now look at verse 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, at midday, chapter 22 says noon. What's the difference? Amen. O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven. Now notice this, which already I told you in chapter 22, it just didn't say it. Above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. I saw a light I've never seen before in my life, what Paul said. Amen. Now we've got up to the same place. Saw a light. Now I want to say this before we go any further. Everybody that gets saved has to see a light. Now you listen to me. You won't see one like Paul did on the Damascus Road. But before a man or a woman can get saved, God has to open their understanding, and that enlightens their mind and opens their heart. And they have to hear the Word of God, and the light that they have is spoken to through the preached Word, and the preached Word opens their understanding and gives them the light. Without the light, they'll go to hell.
Amen.
I didn't see a light brighter than the noonday sun. Neither did you. I know some today is looking for it. I spent hours one night in the church with a young lady trying to get saved. And her daddy didn't say, all you got to do is call on God and He'll hit you with it. You'll feel it, the touch of God. And his mama, or her mama said, oh, you'll know it when you'll know it. He'll hit you from the top of your head to the bottom of your foot. You'll know. And she was looking for some feeling. Amen. And I'd have liked to shock her right good. But we spent hours trying to get that girl saved, and she left out of this building without being born again. Because they were looking for the light. They were looking for the presence. They were looking for a touch. Did any of y'all get hit like a cat, well, like a cattle prod would do when you got saved? I didn't. I walked down the aisle, I bowed at the altar. Thank God I didn't do what some have done, just make a little decision. I'm going to walk for God and change, turn over a new leaf and take off. I remember that day when the Lord moved into my heart. I didn't shout. I didn't run. But I knew something had happened. I knew that God moved in because my life was different that day. Been different ever since. Amen. The devil was kicked out and my life changed and I desired the Word of God and I desired to go to church. Now Paul saw a literal light. And I said, well, go, everybody needs to see a light when you get saved. That's called conviction. Yeah. Nobody's ever got saved without being convicted. Right. We can't come to God unless the Spirit of God draws us. And He draws us through one thing, and that's called the preaching, the Word of God, the Word of God. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, if anybody even had conviction, heaven sent conviction, you're still lost. There's got to be some conviction. God showed me as a sinner. And if you got saved, God showed you as a sinner. God not only showed me that I was a sinner, but God showed me that Christ was the Savior. And He saved sinners, and that calling upon His name would save my soul. God give me the light. He turned the light on in my brain. And some of you look like you don't know whether you want to believe that or not. But I'll take you back to the first book of the Bible. And the earth was without form and void. And I didn't read the first verse. Don't get out of here and say this. I didn't intend to start with the first verse. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Bible said, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And gets on down there below that. And the Bible said, and God said, let there be light. Light's the first thing that happens in salvation.
Amen.
Paul had a light.
Amen.
And I talked about this, and you said, you said, I thought conviction was. There ain't no conviction without light.
Amen.
I didn't just get up one morning and say, I know I'm a sinner and on my way to hell. I was stupid and dumb, blinded by the devil. The Bible said, the Bible talks about it in 2 Corinthians. It talks about blinded by the devil. And I was blind. So God turned the light on. When He turned on the light, I saw I was lost. That's conviction. Amen. I was living in darkness. I was lost and undone. I was in darkness. But the light came on.
Amen.
Now the light didn't save me. It just showed me I was a sinner. Now, well, I'm going to give another little thought or two. I didn't get as far as I thought I was going to get in this tonight. I mean, I'm way down yonder day and yonder on the ground in my studies. And I'm way down there where Paul's done called it on the Lord. But you can take this and apply it. Let's go back to ninth chapter. I'll give you one more little thought to go through, and then maybe you'll go home. Maybe this is interesting enough to make you go home and look at it. The Bible said in verse number 4, verse 3, he saw a light. In verse 4, it said, and he fell to the earth. Now, Luke's talking about Paul. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And there's a lot of preaching in this one verse, but we're going to deal with this verse 4, the first part of it. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him. First, he had a light. Second, it humbled him to his knees. And when it humbled him to his knees, he heard God speak. And he heard God say something to him. And then if you read on down, which I'm getting ahead of it, and I'm not going to get there tonight, he begins to call on him, Who art thou, Lord? We won't go any further there. Let's go to chapter 22. When we get to chapter 22, we'll try to pick up where we were. And it said in verse number 7, And I fell unto the ground. Now Paul speaking, and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Basically the same meaning. We don't get nothing new much. Now let's go to chapter 26. And when we get to chapter 26, we look at verse number 14. We find something just a little bit different. And when we were all fallen, we didn't see that in them other two chapters or three verses, did we? Now these all that fall, who are they? The ones that were with Paul. There's a significance in that. We'll not get into that tonight, I know. But he says, And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue. We didn't get that in the others either, did we? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And then he heard that voice speaking something else. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now we give some information. You see, when you fit it all together, now there's a lot of preaching here, and I ain't going to have time tonight. I'm sorry, I ain't going to have time. I'm getting tired. And you done got more than you can chew on anyhow. But we find in chapter 22, in chapter 26, in chapter 9, that Paul saw a light, then he heard a voice, or he fell, and then he heard a voice. And I do want to give the significance of why Paul saw a physical light. Do you believe Paul saw a physical light? You've got to be an idiot not to. I believe Paul saw a light, and I believe those men around there saw the light. And why did it tell us in chapter 26 that they all fell? Because God wanted not only just to show Paul through Paul, but he wanted the witnesses to see that God had intervened. Have you ever been around somebody that got saved? And you first looked at it and said, I ain't sure about it, but in a couple of days you done changed your mind because their life has changed. God lets you see that. The reason is, and I believe this, and never seen it, never heard nobody preach this. Now, an apostle has to see the resurrected Christ. Now, the resurrected Christ is in the glorified body. Amen. Now, I know this. He wasn't He didn't show up in the light like that to the disciples. But we know he was transfigured before Peter, James, and John in Matthew 17. And I believe that Paul is being put into place to recognize the Son of God and to know that the resurrected Christ is near, and it's the resurrected Christ that saved him. That's why you and I didn't get and don't have to have a light, personally or physical light, when we get saved. But we do have to have the light from the Scriptures. You understand that? And I don't want to get too deep in this because we can be here 45 minutes off of just that little thought right there.
Mm-hmm.
But so I want to look at this. Does it help you tonight to look at how to compare them?
Amen.
Had you ever seen tonight that Luke is talking about him in chapter 9, and he's giving his testimony in chapter 22 and chapter 20. I've never seen that. But God blessed me with that. And I'm still dissecting that and getting it. And sometimes I've spent hours just looking at this. And I'm going by memory now because I don't have no notes with me. And I've missed a few things. I know I have. Because if I'd have known I was going to be on this, we'd have probably been on the third verse. But I'd have brought some notes with me. Jog my memory. I'm going to stop there tonight and hope that you'll go home and study some. Does that help you?
Amen.
That's a strange thing, isn't it? Amen. Give God the praise and the glory. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. They come to the instruments. I just love to study things like that. It's a blessing to see those things. Amen. It's typical of the salvation. You get on down and you'll see he said, Lord. He's recognizing that. In other words, you'll see the repentance. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see.